right. This is a message that I have been preaching in my own heart for a long time now, the last several months. Back in December, I had this stirring up in my own spirit that this year is all about an overflowing faith that I need to have in my life. And I'm overflowing it to you right now because I am wanting it in my life. My wife and I have been talking about it. Our staff have been talking about it. And I believe that when other people are doing something that is attractive, that other people want to join in too. And so I hope that you will also join in this and can feel the need for more of a connection with God than ever before. So today, the message is called Overflowing Faith. And my theme today is stay close to God and His love in you will light up the world. So the people around you will see your love for God, and they will be attracted to it. The first point today is the closer we are to God, the better we can help other people. So how many of you have a smartphone? Anybody out there have a smartphone? I'm not going to ask who doesn't have a smartphone just because I don't think we're there anymore. So you don't have to raise your hand, but there's some people here that you are the type of person that waits until you're at 1% to plug your phone in. And the same people, I'm calling you out, the same people who do that are the people who wait until you're like right on E before you put gas in the tank, right? Yep. Praise God. You're good. God loves you. Yeah, you believe that you just have so much faith that God's going to take you through. But the thing is, when you have the iPhone, you have your phone sitting there and it's on like 100%. I can picture you right now. You're like, you've got all your notifications on full blast. You've got the screen brightness up all the way. And you're just like living large. Like it is the greatest life. When you've got it plugged into the wall at night, it's like the greatest thing ever. You can do all kinds of things because it's plugged in to the wall. You've got all the power you need. But man, oh man, when the day, if you have an iPhone, about half the day through, you're dead. Like, you have to recharge it, right? I did move to Android, and it does not die. Praise God. But I'm telling you that it's just like that with our relationship with God. He wants us to be connected to Him so that we can live out our full purpose to do all the things that He's calling us to do with an incredible amount of energy to be able to do everything that we can to be able to do what He is calling us to do. We don't need to be living that extreme battery saver mode like we do often. We get into that extreme battery saver mode because I haven't been spending time with God and I'm just like, I'm dying of thirst. Like I need something, some spiritual nourishment in my life. And it's not enough. I'm trying to help other people, especially if you're leading at any capacity and you're trying to help other people with their relationship with God. It's almost impossible to try to give out what you don't have inside of you. And so I'm not condemning you right now. I'm saying there's so much more to life. There's so much more that God wants to give you in your life. And all it takes sometimes is just waking up the first time the alarm goes off. You know what I mean? God wants to give you. He wants to give you so much, and I'll read it here later too, but He wants to just pour this water, this spiritual nourishment into your life so that you're overflowing and you don't even know what to do with it all. I'm trying to get to that point. I just want so much that I'm just overflowing. I'm like drowning in God's love. I think there's some songs about that. Like I want more of that. The point is that when we are connected to God, we are able to work at our fullest capacity. Our fullest capacity is actually beyond what we can do. Like, it doesn't make sense, the things that we're capable of when we're full of God's love and full of His Spirit. You're going to start doing things and you're like, what did I just say? Like, that wasn't me. Yeah, that's the Holy Spirit speaking through you. It's something like nothing else in this world. And my charge to you is that we need a full church of people who are doing this. It can't just be me, my wife, like some other people, and like a sprinkle. We need a full church of people that are doing this, that are so connected to God that the Spirit is just working through you. And I'm seeing this stuff. Like, you guys are rocking it, but I just want to continue this. We want to see more of it. We want to be more connected to God so that we can have more of Him. John 15:5 says, "Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches." This is Jesus speaking to His disciples at the Last Supper, right before he commissions them into full-time ministry. "Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit." Fruit is, hey, the things that you're doing because of your faith. The things you do not give you faith. The things that you do are an overflow of your faith. When you have great faith, when you are connected to Him, the fruit just flows. You're going to be talking to people about Jesus. You're going to be bringing them to church. You're going to be sharing all kinds of things. You're going to be doing ministry out your ears. You're going to be like, what is this? I don't even know what I'm doing right now, but I'm just ministering to people. "For apart from me, you can do nothing." So this is the part of it. We cannot do anything without our connection with God, with Jesus. So Jesus spoke this at the Last Supper. Like I said, it was right before He commissioned His disciples to go off and do ministry, to go two by two into everywhere. One of the last things, and so this word "remain" means continuous, intimate connection with Jesus. And I know that is not the case for me all the time. He also says, apart from me, you can do nothing. So it's like you've read in other places in the Bible, it says there's no place for lukewarm. You're either in or you're out. So you might as well go all in if you're in. Lukewarm, just there's no room for it. There is no big road. There is only a small, tiny road for you to go on. And that is what Jesus calls us to. Jesus is like, at one point, He's just like the most generous, most loving, most kind person in the world. But man, when you get into that relationship with Him, He has a way to do things. It's easy for me because I'm a rule follower. I love rules. You tell me a rule, I'm going to follow it. Some of us aren't the same way, but He has a way to live life. And He's saying that it is going to be awesome if you do it this way. You may have temporary fun doing it another way, and we've all done that a little bit too much. But He's saying, I want your life to be so fulfilling. Go this very narrow road and you are going to have such a fun time. Like, you may be on a bicycle because it's so skinny. You're not going to have your big truck lifted up, loud exhaust, all that thing. But you are going to have a blast on your mini bike. Like, it's going to be awesome. You're going to see lives changed around you. People are going to be asking you, how did you do this? Why are you doing this? Why do you live that way? And you're just going to be like, I don't know. It's just Jesus. And that's going to be the answer, just like when we were little kids in Bible school. Jesus, Bible, prayer. Those are the answers. Stay close to God, and His love in you will light up the world around you. He just wants to blow it up right now. Jesus is the rooted tree in this analogy of the vine. He wants us to be connected to Him. He is the rooted tree in the ground. He's solid. He is what they call the cornerstone, the foundation of everything. He was there when everything was created. Everything was created through Him. And He's saying that I want you to connect with me so that you can do the things that you're called to do. And some of you are like, what is He talking about, called to do? Your ears are plugged right now. And He wants to pull that out. He wants to clear that away so that He can speak to you right now. This is a God who, He's so intimate. He's not just maybe what you've heard, but He is an intimate, loving God that wants to speak to you. And over the years, we can put boundaries up in our life. We've been to a church where they hurt us. They did something to me to make me not want to go to church anymore. And now I've got a wall up. I've plugged my ears. I've blocked my eyes. But He's just saying, I want to pull that away. And I want to speak to you. I want to tell you what it is that God, that I want to do in your life. And through you, He wants to do ministry. So we have to be connected to Jesus for this to work. It doesn't work any other way. It's useless any other way. And this is what Jesus is calling us to. James 4:8 says, "Come close to God, and God will come close to you." It's like when we decide to move closer to Him, he also decides to come closer to us. It's a two-way street. He's not always going to be pushy. Some people expect that of God, that he's just going to push his way in. He will, certain times, we can't tell why or when, but most of the time, we have to be the ones who initiate this. Ultimately, he is the great initiator. His son came down and died for us, but we have to meet him halfway. And when we meet him halfway, he comes closer. I just thought of a movie back in the day, the movie Hitch. I won't go into all the details, but if you know, you know. James 4:8a, come close to God and he will come closer to you. 80:20. Faith isn't passive, it's a two-way street. We don't live a passive faith. There is no room for the lukewarm water. He just wants hot or cold. It's so drastic. Yet Jesus is still like this amazing, like everyone wants to hang out with him. Everyone wants to be around him, but not everyone is willing to decide that they want to be all in with him. And I'm telling you, you're going to have the greatest life if you go all in with him. Drawing near to God is about our heart, our intention, our actions. What is our motive when we draw closer to God? Why do we tithe? Like, am I wanting more money because I tithe? Is that your motivation? That's not the motivation of Scripture. That's not God's motivation. We give to give, not give to get. Other things. Do I go to church so that I can have a sparkly, clean, amazing life? That's just not going to happen. He promises to be right there with you, whatever you go through. And that is enough. He's giving you eternal life, so there is no end to this life. It continues. He wants to give you more than what you ask for. We're not just following his commands, we're nurturing a relationship. Yes, he has commands. He writes it that way. He has things that he definitely wants us to do, but it's not the way we think about it. It is nurturing a relationship by following what he's asking us to do. God's response when we nurture that relationship, well, he will just draw closer to you. It will enrich our lives. He's going to allow us to be in his presence. It's like that overflowing cup that you just pour and pour, and it's like it's just pouring everywhere, and it's all over, and it's just feeding all the dirt underneath it, and it's going to feed everything because it's just going to keep going. He's going to give you more than you can handle. He's just going to give you more than you can handle, and that's okay because he's going to be right there with you to help you handle it. It's going to be beautiful. Like, he is going to speak things in you, through you, to you that you never could have imagined. I don't care how old you are, what disabilities you have, what problems you have, what cognitive disorders you have, whatever it is, it bows to the feet of Jesus. You have the ability to do what he's calling you to do. He's going to use you exactly the way you are, transformed into his ways, and you're going to be a 10 out of a 10 at something. And that's our job as a church too, is to help you along the way to discover the purpose that God is speaking to you so that you can continue and walk these things out. And that is what we're called to as pastors and leaders. We are to equip the saints is what the Bible says. You are the saint. You're thinking, I'm not a saint. Well, the Bible says you are, so there you are. Let's go. Number two, when we're full of God's love, we start to share it with other people. There's just no way around this. When you are overflowing with his love, you can't do anything but share it with other people. I know some of you are like crazy good at this. Some people are going to be doing this more than others. Don't get in a competitive game. But you're overflowing with his love and you're just like, oh, everybody's got to know about him. Everybody's got to know. I got to tell everybody. And if he's really a big part of your life, he's going to come up. You're like, oh yeah, I was talking to Jesus. And then you're like, wait a second, this person doesn't know Jesus. They didn't know I was a Christian. Like, it's just going to come up. So when I was in college in Southern California, I had to fly quite a bit to come back home. What's the one thing that I hear every time on an airplane is, when the oxygen mask comes down, put it on yourself first, right? We don't think like that naturally. We want to, if our kids are there, we're going to try to help them first, but you're not going to be any use to your kids if you're dead. They're going to be sitting there and like, what am I doing? But in order for us to be able to help other people, we have to develop that connectivity to God. We have to be putting ourselves in this situation first. We can't try to do ministry completely poured out and empty inside. And God wants to give us, he wants to feed us here. And then John 7:38 says, anyone who believes in me may come and drink. It's free. It's there right now. You can take a drink. Come to the worship night right tonight. Drink from his overflowing cup. For the scripture declares, rivers of living water will flow from his heart. Those who come close to him will be overflowing with this river of water. Now, I'm not talking serious. If you start overflowing with water, like, I don't really know what to do. I'm talking about real water. I would not know what to do. So, but you are going to be overflowing with his spiritual nourishment. The water in this verse represents the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. This is Jesus talking again right before before he commissioned his followers to go out. And he was talking about, some of you may have heard this word Pentecost before, and you're like, Pentecostal church, and you think, wow, that's a weird type of thing. I don't really like the word Pentecost or Pentecostal now because it's got its own thing. When I see this and I see the power of the Holy Spirit, to me it just means church. Like, not Pentecostal or anything like that. This is church. That's just a natural way of doing things because that's what the Bible says. So he's saying that I want you overflowing with the Holy Spirit in your life. And the Bible calls that a baptism in the Holy Spirit. And it's separate from the water baptism. You can actually invite the Holy Spirit into your life to be baptized by God, by the Holy Spirit, so that you can be overflowing with his love, with his power, with the strength that you need, even some of you, just to wake up in the morning, like with the first alarm is what I'm talking about. You need the Holy Spirit for that. And I need the Holy Spirit to stay asleep. Like, I struggle to stay asleep at night. I can fall asleep like that, but I need to stay asleep more. I wake up too early. John 7:38, man, it's powerful. And he's saying, Jesus is saying that he was the one who is giving the Holy Spirit. So Jesus left, he died, he rose again, and then right up into heaven. That's the part we don't talk about enough because I really feel like that would be really cool to watch. Like, I don't know how fast he went up, but just the idea of him, like, I don't know, was he doing this? Was he like this? Like, was there a suit? Yeah, Superman? Like, they did, like, Matthew is the guy who does the details, but he didn't have enough details. So he's saying, he's leaving so that he can leave the Holy Spirit with us. And he's saying, you are going to do greater things than I, because he's multiplied us out to be able to do the ministry that he's calling us to do. There's way more of us than him. And we have the power of the Holy Spirit that can live inside us. All we have to do is invite him in. Holy Spirit, I invite you into my life. You can even do it right now if you want. Holy Spirit, I invite you into my life. I want you here. I need you here. There's nothing special about the words that you use. You just open up your heart to the Holy Spirit baptizing you for this reason. Jesus himself was saying, I'm aligning myself with the water of life. Jesus is saying, he's declaring that he was the source of spiritual life and nourishment. Again, guys, there are people out there that truly believe that Jesus was only a good teacher. Again, there's no room for that. He left no room to be in the middle road. He can either be a lunatic for saying these types of things, or he is the God of the universe. He cannot be a good teacher because he's declaring things that are just blasphemous otherwise. There's just no room. He is the one who wants to fill your cup with a deep spiritual relationship with him. He promises you that if you ask for the Holy Spirit to come into your life, that he will. He will come into your life. And at that point, he's going to give you gifts beyond the gifts that you naturally have. You're going to have gifts that are able and able to do things that you just weren't be able to do before. You're going to have gifts of prophecy, gifts of tongues. You're like, oh gosh, this is the Pentecostal church. He's going to give you gifts that you can't even imagine. They're going to be amazing. You may hear someone speak in tongues and you're like, why am I hearing something different? That's called the gift of interpretation. You allow him to come in and it's going to change. The power that you're going to have inside of you is going to change your life forever. This is not where I was planning on going with this message when I wrote it, but it's just fitting in. It's like God's just making it fit. Personal transformation. We all need personal transformation in our life. When we're full of God's love, we start to share it with other people, though. There's just no way around it. And these are markers in your life that you need to pay attention to. They are not condemnation points. They are markers. If my love for people starts to diminish, if I start to get critical of other people, I'm telling you, red flag, red flag. Connect to Jesus. Find him. Go deep. Develop your relationship with him. Because that's one of God's children that you're getting critical about. You can disagree with people, especially in 2024, right? Big year this year. You can disagree, but to be critical is not the heart of God. Stepping on toes. There's another marker, community. If I stop desiring being in community with other people, red flag, red flag. Not a condemnation point, red flag. God wants you to be in community. He wants you to be loving people. He wants you to be in relationship with other people. He wants you to know other people deeply. He needs not just for you to know other people, but for someone to know you. And you're thinking, oh my goodness, I do not want that. No, there's stuff in here that, I'm telling you, if you knew about other people, you would be okay with sharing some of your stuff, okay? You just got to let it in. Even if it's slow, start out in like a really fun small group this summer, like kayaking. You just start rubbing shoulders with people, go on a walking small group, just start rubbing shoulders. You're like, hey, this person I can connect with. Go a little bit deeper. Next thing you know, you're going to be like in a freedom group just like this. I love this. I'm telling you, just put your feet in with community. Don't be afraid. God wants to do so much inside of you, and it's going to be through other people. Some of the healing that you need in your life cannot and will not, just the way God set this up, it will not happen until you are in community with other believers. It's just a part of the way he did things. So when we're deeply connected to God, our love for him will overflow so much that it will flow right into his people. It's going to be just pouring out of you. And it's not going to be like this every day of your life. You're not going to feel like $1 million every day. But he's going to pour out of you in a way that you can't even explain it. 1 John 4:19 says, we love each other because he loved us first. So his love gives us the ability to love other people. Number three, spending quiet time with God helps us be better at helping others. If we want to help other people, we need to develop a time with him. We need to develop a time with God so that we can develop an ability to overflow with his love. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world. Our quiet time with God isn't just a pause in the day. It's not just something we set aside, but it's a time for deep contemplative time with him. When we connect to the God of the universe, we come away with a peace that is unexplainable. It's much more powerful than just a time to clear your mind. That's important, that's good, but it is not that. It is a time to think about this God who has created everything, and he wants a deep relationship with you. It's a time to contemplate who he is in your life. It's not just a quiet time to clear your mind. Again, that's important, but not the same. Mark 1:35 says, before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to the isolated place to pray. And I love this because we think of Jesus as who he is, but we often forget that he was a complete, and I don't mean this in a literal way, but he was a complete rock star in his day. People just wanted to be around him. If they saw him, they were coming up to him every chance they got. I mean, they were going around to him and trying to get to him every moment that he was out in public. He just drew people in. But it says here that he found an isolated place to pray. And so I believe that if Jesus has the ability to do that, then we can find that isolated place to pray. We can find that isolated place to pray so that we have that same connection with the God of the universe. So he's a humble man, but he took the time to isolate himself in a relationship with other people. Number four, actually one more thing. Spending time with God isn't just beneficial to ministry. It's foundational to being a Christian. Developing that time with him, that connection. Number four, when we're full of faith, others will want to catch it too. It's just going to happen. But in our minds, we automatically think of the people who do not want anything to do with it. And because we think of those people who do not want anything to do with it, it keeps us from trying to talk to anyone. Yes, there will be people who are very hardened to it, but most people that you are in relationship with are going to love it. 1 Thessalonians 1:8 says, and now the word of the Lord is ringing out from you to people everywhere. For wherever we go, we find people telling us about your faith in God. We don't need to tell them about it. So when we're living out our faith in a way that truly represents the way that God is, we are able to make other people curious about Christianity, about our faith. Why do you live that way? It makes no sense. It makes no sense. In Daniel chapter 3, when Daniel respectfully talks to the king with honor, the king commands him to do something that is in direct violation of his relationship with God. And that's when you know that you have to stand up for what you believe in, when it is in direct violation. And then Daniel, again, with honor and respect, says to him, I can't do that. I can't do that. It is just not possible for me to do that. Then he says, well, then I'm going to kill you very badly. It's going to hurt really bad. He says, then do it. That's if that's the only thing that I can do. And that's what we have to have in our faith, is if someone gets in the way of our faith, we cannot allow it to. We have to be ready for what God wants to do. And people around you are going to be like, but why would you do that? You could just say, just go along with it for now and then later be okay with, you know, all this stuff. No, we have to stand up for God in front of other people. And other people are going to wonder, why in the world are they doing that? And people are going to be like, whatever they got, I got to have. Like, that's crazy. I don't understand how you have peace when you do blank. You do something in your life that you're really good at in your faith walk with Jesus, and people are like, what? Why do you do that? It's the whole math thing. We've talked about this over and over again last month, but why would you give 10% back to God when I'm over here and I'm using credit cards because I can't even get anything to fit? I can't even use 100%. It won't make sense to people. Living out this faith will not make sense, and people will be curious as to how you're doing it. Matthew 5:16, in the same way, let your good deeds shine, so that fruit, let it shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. It's not about us. Don't let it get to you. Don't let that praise hit you. It's a praise for God. Good deeds do nothing to purchase our salvation. They do everything to help us when we're overflowing. The good deeds will just come out of us. If the good deeds aren't naturally coming out of you, don't condemn yourself, but realize that the connection with God needs tightened up. So what in your life needs tightened up in your connection with God right now? I think this is for everyone, because we aren't always spewing out fruit all the time, right? What in our life can we tighten up so that we can connect him more in our life? And I just want to remind you guys, stay close to God and his love in you will light up the world. Would you guys stand with me today? I want to pray for you. God, I thank you so much for this group of people today. I thank you that you want to speak to all of us individually, personally. That you have plans and a purpose for people in here today that can't even imagine it. I just ask that you would start to speak to people in this room today, that they would hear you right now, that their ears would be cleared, their eyes would be cleared right now so that they can hear and see you. We just want more of you, God. We want a deep, profound connection to you. We just want to be able to know you so well, God. If there's anyone in here today who's ready to go all in with God, you haven't given your life to him before, or you're ready to rededicate your life to him, I'm just going to do something super simple and ask you to raise your hand in just a moment. I'm going to count to three. Just have you raise your hand, and I want to pray for you, okay? Speak to people here, Lord. One, two, three. Just raise your hand up so I can see you. Thank you. I see that. Thank you. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Would everyone pray with me as a sign of confession in your faith in God today? Jesus, I give you my life. I surrender my control. I give you all that I am. I want to be connected to you. I want to be overflowing today. Help me to walk this out. I love you, Jesus. In your name, amen.